You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about fantasy football and NFL for SportingNews.com. So come out and check the site. We have all your post-Super Bowl 53 breakdown. We'll have a new mock draft coming up this week. We'll look at NFL free agency as well, things we have to know for fantasy football. But first, we got to put Super Bowl 53 in the books, the takeaways from the Rams and Patriots. The game itself, we know the result. The Patriots win their sixth Super Bowl with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. 13-3, not the game we all expected. We expected a lot more scoring, but we did mostly expect the Patriots to win the game there in Atlanta. They come through here. It was a big game for Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski and Sonny Michel. Tom Brady struggled there early and had the interception, and it was a lot of points left on the board by both teams, but the Patriots look closer to what they were than the Rams, that was for sure. So we'll dive right into what we think about the Patriots in this specific game and what we think that means for them going forward, and then we'll come back and break down the Rams as well with some then final thoughts here on the 2018-19 season and what we can take away overall from the league in general. So let's start looking at the Patriots. And the Patriots, we know that this was their identity down the stretch all along, running the football. They stuck with the run, even if it wasn't there early. A lot of Sonny Michel there. They really got the run going in the second half. And it was just a matter of wearing down the Rams in time. They had a big time of possession edge in the first half. It was a 3-0 game for a long time until the Rams started late, but the Patriots were still being able to rush the ball the way they wanted. So Tom Brady, as much as we've given credit for this run, and he deserves it for making a lot of the clutch plays, wouldn't be possible with the offensive line play in the running game, because that was tough. Tom Brady didn't really have that outside go-to guy with Brandon Cooks going to the Rams there in the trade. And then they picked up Josh Gordon. Looks like that had been solved. Then Josh Gordon had a recurrence with something that happened off the field. They didn't trust him totally, and there was that. Gordon moved on, and they never really could unleash the full power of Josh Gordon there the way they wanted. There were some flashes of what he could do, and he came through some touchdowns and some big plays at times, but never fully incorporated into the offense. And Tom Brady had to make that adjustment. The Patriots had to make that adjustment as well. So Sonny Michel is looking really good as an RB1 for this team. We'll have to see about Rob Gronkowski. Does he retire? That kind of maybe changes the way you look at Tom Brady. Is Julian Edelman returning as the best receiver? Are they going to mix up Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, give them more of an opportunity? So it's kind of circling back to early in Tom Brady's career. We know he put up the big numbers in the middle when he's been with Josh McDaniels with the 50 touchdown season in 2007. He's had some other monster seasons of late. But if Gronk retires and this team wasn't throwing a lot of touchdowns anyway, and you look at Julian Edelman being a key receiver for him, but more reality-wise, because he's not a scoring threat as much. He didn't score in this game. He dominated as a receiver for the second straight game, but didn't find the end zone here. So when the Patriots are able to control the action with their offensive line and running game, and it's all about that, and Brady has limited weapons, he's still moving the chains, getting the ball downfield, getting the conversions when they need to in time. But the touchdowns are, as we know, very key to putting a player over the top at quarterback in fantasy football. You want those numbers, and you really had the big drop off from Patrick Mahomes with the 50 to Andrew Luck in the high 30s. So as much as the volume was there of quarterbacks that could put up some big numbers, we saw Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and Brady, where the touchdowns and yards just weren't there for those familiar names. So it's a little shake up on the board. We figure Mahomes will be the number one quarterback. Andrew Luck will probably be high up there as well based on the numbers carrying over. So Brady's going to be a middle-of-the-pack type quarterback. I don't think you can necessarily lock into him as a QB1 that you draft there pretty high. So you have to see. They'll probably look at a receiver in the draft here early. I think they really need some help with that position with Edelman getting older, Chris Hogan getting older, Dorsett just being a guy that they throw, Cordarrelle Patterson being a gadget player. They had to use some interesting sets in the Super Bowl. They used to use a five wide where James Devlin, the fullback, was right. Rex Burkhead was on the left. You had Julian Edelman, and they had the two tight ends, Gronkowski and Allen. So they had to get creative to create some mismatches there. It led to that touchdown drive where Gronkowski got open. I wrote about that at Sporting News, that Josh McDaniels and this team just always adjust, make the moves there to be successful, and that's what you saw with that Gronk play. So take Gronk out of the equation. It's getting harder and harder for McDaniels to find the right personnel that he wants in the passing game. That's why it's such a run-heavy approach, and that was a good adjustment by the Patriots in this particular season. So when you look at Patriots, they'll adjust again. Brady, we know, is 100% coming back. They could adjust to being a high passing team, but we know right now, as teams have played more to play the pass, the Patriots are good at zigging and when everyone else is zagging, and you'll see a lot more of the running attack with Michelle. They used a first-round pick. We'll see. I mean, it's a good indication if they use a first-round pick or a second-round pick on a wide receiver that they're really committed to maybe rebuilding that pop in the passing game. And with Gronkowski, if he decides to definitely hang it up, they'll have to look at some help at tight end as well. And Dwayne Allen is not going to be the future. Maybe they could look at Jacob Hollister if he's healthier there, but Gronk, replacing Gronk is just difficult. I think Edelman will be back, and he's going to be a good baseline, as well as James White out of the backfield, but you need a little bit more if you're going to trust your quarterback there in fantasy football. I know, so it's a key offseason for him, but Michelle, I think that's one constant where you're looking at, no matter what happens with this Patriots team, he's looking like a borderline RB1. I know it's tough to trust running backs from New England, but Michelle's special. We know that he can get high volume and be very productive and score touchdowns when he gets the opportunity. I expect the Patriots to kind of be like that. They've been like that in the past with Antoine Smith and Corey Dillon, so it's not unprecedented where one back can have a monster season running, even going back to last year with Deion Lewis in that backfield. So a lot of good things there for the Patriots. Now, as we talk about the Patriots, we'll get into their draft thinking as well. Let's check out Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On NFL Network, as well as the Draft Dudes podcast and our Team by Team podcast, as we break down the prospects, the team needs, everything all the teams are looking at as we are about to hit the combine and then pro days, and then teams will really be focused in on the draft that begins here, the building up to next season and trying to win it. So check out all those shows on the Locked On Network. We'll be with you as well here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We never stop talking draft here in the off season, and looking forward to seeing how these teams come out on the other end for 2019. We'll be right back here to look at the Rams and what we take away from their final game of 2018-19. All right, let's look at what we had in the Rams season and this game in particular. Todd Gurley, that mystery is going to linger here. How healthy is Todd Gurley? Are they going to keep C.J. Anderson as a good makeshift there? Are they going to use more of a committee approach? Is Todd Gurley going to be healed up in the offseason where he can be the workhorse, that special back that can break tackles, make people miss, hit the home run runs, as well as catch passes and be very dangerous in that capacity? So a lot of questions there about this Rams offense. I think the biggest maybe is, again, Gurley versus Anderson. Is this going to change a little bit? They did pay Gurley a ton of money with an early contract extension there, so that would say you want to get the most out of him and give him the ball, but they also adjusted here, and if Gurley was not injured and they went with Anderson, then there's a bit of head-scratching there because Anderson doesn't give you that added dimension. We'll have to see if John Kelly, the rookie from Tennessee, we thought he was going to have a bigger role, but they immediately went to Anderson. They just didn't trust Kelly in there in the lineup. You had Malcolm Brown also get hurt, so we'll see. I think John Kelly still has the inside track to be the second back here with a lot of upside for the Rams. I'm just surprised that they didn't really trust him. I think it was just being the rookie factor and maybe a lot of things he can handle there with pass pro, little things, but he's an explosive runner from Tennessee. I think And overall, with this full off season, I'm not sure they need to cling to Anderson if they have a guy like Kelly. So we'll watch that. In the backfield, this offensive line is pretty intact and good, so you don't have to worry about that with the run blocking or the offensive skill play in the passing game. So you're looking at the Rams, and then you look at the passing game. Jared Goff, serviceable QB1 at times. He was hit or miss. He had that monster game against the Vikings, some other big, big games. But then he could be really disappointing when they were able to run the ball and dominate. And you didn't have Cooper Kupp in the lineup. It was a different type of Jared Goff. Cooper Kupp means everything because he's a key guy that scores, makes big plays, makes the matchups for both Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods better, can give you a little bit of pop with the tight ends when you bring them in a wrinkle as well. So Cooper Kupp, we want to see him back there. And if you break it down here, Brandon Cooks, to me, wide receiver one. I think you're looking at Robert Woods as a borderline wide receiver two, and a Cooper Kupp right there is wide receiver two. And in PPR, I think both Woods and Kupp get the bump up while Cooks kind of stays static there. So really, when you look at it in PPR, I think they're all wide receiver twos. Woods and Kupp have a little bit more upside because of their catch passing volume and touchdown scoring there than Cooks. So Cooks is a big play guy that I think can still continue to emerge as the number one on this team and separate a little bit from Woods and what Kupp did. And you saw with Jared Goff, the opportunities were there with Cooks. The wide open sitting back in the end zone that he released the ball too late. Then he had the double team, but Goff made a good play, and really Cook should have come down with it. So a lot of question marks there with what you're looking at by Jared Goff. So I'm not going to be all in on Jared Goff as a QB1. Again, there's too much depth and talent there to go there, especially with an inconsistent quarterback. I mean, he was better than last year, obviously, and you know, can continue to grow, but I'm not putting all my chips here on Jared Goff as just a locked-in fantasy starter. I like him in a platoon with another guy. I play the matchups a lot. That's going to be a bigger factor here in fantasy football in 2019. You having two quarterbacks of similar value and putting them in different places, matchup based, you've covered through the bye, you don't have to really reach as much because there's just no dominant quarterbacks. If you get past Mahomes and Luck, then you're going to just say, I'm going to set it, forget it, play this guy every week. The matchups just fluctuate so much and there's so many things going on. That's a strategy that you have to consider here in 2019. And Jared Goff would be one of those system quarterbacks, so to speak, for your fantasy football team as well. So tight ends, we want to see Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee involved more. They're just reluctant here in this type of offense, especially if Kupp comes back. You're having more set three receiver sets. You don't know about Higbee being the better blocker to get on the field ahead of Gerald Everett there. So I just don't think you can go there with the Rams tight ends. When you look at the Rams and their passing game, you think Everett can have a bigger role here in his latest year with Sean McVay. So 3 years with Sean McVay, I think that should help the entire offense. But again, you have temporary expectations a lot. I think the only commodities that you can really fully trust now, based on how the season ended and with Kupp, well, on the recovery side, is wide receiver. Now, talk a lot about these teams, and you can't really go wrong listening to the Lockdown Fantasy Network for anything you're listening to, team by team, whether it's NFL or MLB or NBA. Big things coming around everywhere. The All-Star Game in NBA, spring training about to open for MLB. We've got you covered here as well. So Lockdown Fantasy Football, we keep it going here through the draft. We will be there giving you the ultimate insight, and just like our other shows on the network. So if you haven't heard the other things here on the network, check it out for sure. We're doing some crossing over and some analysis that way as well. So look forward to that. I'll be right back here to break down the general takeaways of the 2018-19 season here in the NFL. All right, well, we said we'd end the show here with some fantasy football takeaways from the season. Number one we'll start with is don't discount anybody. I think we can write off players too easily. We also overinflate players, but I think number one thing is don't write off anyone. They can all give you viability and fantasy. Things can blow up completely different. I mean, you have to pay attention to everything. I mean, Phillip Lindsay, the Broncos running back, is a good example. There was buzz about him in camp and what he would do, and you have to pay attention to that and put people on your radar. Number two is maybe make some rule changes in your league. Kicker definitely has been eliminated in a lot of leagues, but maybe tight end as well. I mean, it was really a drying up position. You pretty much had Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz and George Kittle. Pretty much if you didn't have one of those guys, you were disappointed severely at one point this season. If Rob Gronkowski again retires, that changes things. If Jimmy Graham fades as well, that's two guys that we're familiar with. And Kyle Rudolph, those types did not do that much. So maybe you want to do away with tight end and make that a wide receiver tight end flex in your league. Something to consider to always be adjusting to the modern game and make those changes. They're like the PPR and the half point and all that came from the changes in the game as well. So tight ends are going to be less involved. You're going to have more three receivers. Maybe make your fantasy football team start three receivers and a wide receiver tight end to flex there instead of the straight-up tight end, something you have to look at. And maybe if you're still using kickers, a good time to eliminate that. And finally, I think the third thing you're looking at as well is that you can't totally lock in on a player's age, whether he's too young or too old, if he's a rookie or a aging veteran. You have to look at the situation, the system, the players around that player's particular talent, and then wage how you want to look at that player in fantasy, draft him and pick him up on the waiver wire. So just don't make any presumptions about that either. Age, it's a different animal now. Guys can step in and play right away and dominate, like Saquon Barkley. We saw that. And then you guys got guys like Tom Brady and Drew Brees still doing it after all these years, performing at a high level there. So you just can't make any judgments based on the way the player's at. We always go for upside, but it's really in a year-long fantasy football, you're looking for that 1 year upside. You're not looking for down the line 2 or 3 years. So you're looking for players old or young that are going to produce now and to your liking. So there you have it. There's a look at the Rams Patriots takeaways here from Super Bowl 53 as we go forward into the 2019 offseason. Regular season still a long ways away. We'll have to wait. There'll be other football leagues and things like that. But in terms of fantasy football, September is when things are going to kick off here. And we'll get you all good to go here. By the time we get to June, July, August, you'll be hearing some intense insight all across the Locked On Network. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.